This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is a shout-out Friday from the 817. Shout-out to my amazing wife. She unfortunately lost her job, but she's been hitting those side gigs like... Well, I guess I can't say that specific word. Really, really diligently.
There
I think
you go.
I'll go with that.
That's a good use of that word. I appreciate that a lot.
And then from the 817, I like that you guys talk about mental health so much. Y'all and Eric Nadel, I really appreciate it. It has helped me more than you know with the stigma. So Eric Nadel obviously is huge in the space as well. And I just really appreciate that level of feedback right there.
I think, you know, one of the factors, Kevin, is, and I think you get a lot of it from Mike Likes It, from the C Block, from all sorts of stuff, is we try to talk a little bit about our lives as well as the show.
Yep.
I was we saw the Barrett Sports Media post recently. A dude sat down, listened to an episode of the show, and was like, hey, this is what I really like about this show.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, not a lot of times do you enjoy people telling about their stories on air, but this show does a really good job of blending those things in. And when it comes to that space that you're discussing there, I think that's a factor in that it's just something that you were like, look, I need to open up about this a little bit. And then each one of us had a moment where we were like, hey, all of us have experienced this.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very relatable. All right, ladies and gentlemen, right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, it is ESPN senior reporter and executive producer of the FX show Clipped. It is Ramona Shelbourne. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty good around here. I was curious about this because I believe the season finale or the finale of Clipped is on Tuesday. Did you get to see the entire show ahead of time?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Did they?
So I know what's coming.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's also based off of your reporting and a podcast, so I knew that. I just wasn't sure if you would, like, watch it week by week just like everybody else, or you're like, I need to binge it all at once.
You know, I've been getting a lot of reactions from people on both sides of that, because there's some people who, like, I was covering the finals, right, when most of this is coming out, and a lot of people were like, I'm saving it all so that I can watch it after the finals, you know, like, a lot of people, and I'm like that with shows, too, like, sometimes I don't want to watch if I have to wait each week, you know, I'm kind of like, I get kind of impatient, too, so it just depends on your own viewing habits. I have people who are watching it every week, will text me every week, you know, and then there's most of the reaction I got is like, why did you only make 6 episodes, man? I'm mad. It's almost over. Right. And I agree. I think we could have done 2 or 3 more, but you know, it's nice and tight at 6 episodes. Right. So same way I felt about the podcast. Like, we probably could have made 2 or 3 more, but it was just you just have to make certain choices at some point. And then it's literally like each episode you make is a lot of work. Right.
Yeah. Did anybody text you saying that the person playing Steph Curry looked like Dak Prescott? Because that took over our area for like a day and a half.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, it's interesting because, like, you know, a lot of the casting stuff, like, especially on the players, you know, like, it's not like, you know, Steph Curry to you and I is a huge guy, right? Like,
sure,
he's Steph Curry. But in the show, he's basically a background actor. You know, he doesn't have any lines. He's just in the show. And that's funny that you said Dak Prescott. I can see that now. I can see that. You know, like, they gave Draymond a couple lines in the last show. It's really just a couple. But it's you know, mostly the lines from the players, like, I would say probably the two main players who have the most lines and the most to say are the guy who plays Chris Paul, who's amazing, J. Alphonse Nicholson, and then the guy who plays DeAndre Jordan has a lot to say as well. You know, his name is Sheldon Bailey. It's funny. Okay, there's a little trivia on Sheldon Bailey. He's the body double for LeBron James in a lot of things.
Really?
Huh. So, like, in Space Jam, he was like LeBron's body double. he's one of the guys. There was another one, Daryl Wesley. Daryl and Sheldon actually played professionally and in college. Like, they're hoopers. You know, like, they, you know, Daryl Wesley was like, I think he played at Ball State or something. And he plays Jamal Crawford, you know, so he was, I remember seeing him, you know, either on set or at some of the cast parties that we've had. He was, Daryl was, like proud. Like he's like, I hope I did Jamal proud. Like I'm a, you know, I'm a fan, like on the court. So, and then, you know, some of them are not basketball players at all. They're just actors. But those two guys especially were you know, real basketball players and could hang on the court. And then Sharunas J. Jackson, who plays Matt Barnes, obviously, he was a player as well.
How easy was it to see this thing kind of turn into the series that it became? Like, yeah. did you always kind of see it, like, it could grow into this?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I always saw this as a scripted show. Like, I was somebody who was really into People versus OJ. Like, that was, you know, that was like this defining kind of show. A couple, you know,
Juice.
Whatever.
However, you got it, Juice.
That came out, right? And I love the event casting of that show. I loved, you know, seeing David Schwimmer as Kardashian, right? Yeah. Like, I love seeing Cuba Gooding Jr. as OJ. Like, you know, whatever you thought of. So when I was covering this in real time, I just thought, God, these characters and these people, this story, it's just such a big story. It feels like it should be a movie. And at least on my end, like, I always thought it should be that. And the only thing I knew how to make was a, you know, ESPN could make a podcast or a 30 for 30, but we didn't do scripted shows. And so I had a pretty good sense that once I always saw this as a, I always had that as a vision. I just didn't know how to, like, I don't make TV shows. I'm a sports writer, right? And so I always thought, like, God, how fun is that going to be to say, like, who's going to play Adam Silver? Who's going to play Doc Rivers? Who's going to play Donald Sterling? And so, you know, I made the podcast because I always just saw the big story. And I would, you know, a lot of the executives, they got tired of me pitching this. So I was like, you guys, it's got everything. It's got celebrity culture. It's got sex. It's got racism. It's got, and then it's got these funny, weird characters that, like, the Beast of Yana with her visor, right? Like, and I mean, it was, you know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And so, you know, we did it as a podcast first because that was the medium we were comfortable. I was comfortable, and I host radio in LA here too. I listen to lots of podcasts, but I always thought it should be like either a movie or a limited series or something like that. And so literally, I want to say a couple weeks after the podcast came out, I got a call from the producer of People versus OJ. Her name is Nina Jacobson. And as soon as she called me, I was like, you're going to make this. Like, this is always what I wanted it to be. And so, like, there was a lot of calls from other producers. Cause I think people, when you heard the podcast, you saw the potential for it. Right. And there's been a lot of podcasts that have been adapted now into limited series. It seems to be like an easy way for Hollywood to adapt good stories. It used to be people wrote a book and they would adapt that. I think People vs. OJ was a book by Jeffrey Toobin. Right. And a lot of the other things, you know, could get adapted because it's source material and a lot of the story and reporting is already done for you. But I thought it was a no-brainer to go with Nina Jacobson and Color Force and FX. And I'm like, you guys are the ones who do this stuff.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah.
For your next executive producing gig, would you consider putting on The Match to determine who will be the next president of the United States via a golf round?
Oh my God, that was embarrassing, was it? Like, the, you know,
yeah,
50 yards. I don't know. I mean, we have that already, right? It's like the celebrity pro-am, you know, up in Vegas,
yes,
up in Tahoe. You know, there's always the Charles Barkley golfing show. You know, they got that stuff. I don't know.
We just greatly up the stakes. That's all we're doing here. Yeah.
I think we gotta have. We just put Charles in there, and it'll be good TV.
That is probably true. Now, obviously, in addition to all the work that you've been doing with this show, people have gotten so used to you as being a reporter and a source of news, especially in the NBA space. I was kind of curious, obviously, coming off a hell of a season for the Mavericks, how do you feel about the future of the Mavericks? Because people are pretty optimistic around here.
I would be. I mean, shoot, you got Luka Doncic in his prime, and Kyrie looks like he has got a lot left. I know there was, you know, somebody asked him that question during one of those pressers, like, how much longer do you want to play? I'm like, I don't know. The guy's still in his early 30s, and he's great, you know? I mean, so you have those two guys. You know that works. You've constructed a team around them that seems like it should work. And so the only thing they have now to do is, you know, A, keep it together, and B, get better. But I would feel pretty good about that. I mean, there's a lot of teams that win. And, you know, I thought Denver was – was poised to have kind of a dynasty, just in the sense that they had young stars, they're all under team control and all that. And then, you know, now you look and they might lose KCP, or they might, they already traded Reggie Jackson, and, you know, that team's getting a little more expensive because Jamal's on a max contract. Like, you know, if you look at, I mean, Luka's obviously going to get a giant contract extension next summer, but I don't think that most of the rest of their guys, like Kyrie's on a very good deal for how good he is. I mean, he's just played year one of a 3-year deal. So I think they got a nice window here.
The around here, a lot of people are like, you know, crediting the, hey, Mark Cuban sells the team, and then the team goes on this kind of run. This was good for the Mavericks because they were able to free up and do some things without Mark interfering. I was just kind of curious from that other national perspective, is Mark Cuban not being involved with the Mavs as much good for the NBA as a lot of Mavs feel it's good for the Mavs?
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that from the local perspective. I guess from the national perspective, we still see him there all the time.
Yeah.
And he still seems involved, although to be honest, you're right. When I deal with like Mavs business stuff, or when I'm talking about their future or moves they've made, I mostly would talk to Jason Kidd or Nico. Nico really has a lot of power now. He's really in charge. And I think, I don't know if you guys realize how good Nico is. Like he's in terms of managing superstars and relationships, he was the best when he was at Nike. I mean, he had everyone. And that's not an easy gig. And so I think it's translated really well to the NBA in that space. I've met Patrick, the new owner. I've met him a couple of times. He was always, you know, floating around at games during the playoffs. I said hello to him and we talked for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. I don't know how involved he is yet. My sense of this is that it's really this year and the moves that they made because of when the ownership sale was. Mark was still involved. Maybe not as involved as in the past. Maybe he didn't have quite as much say, but I definitely thought it was much more Nico doing what he wanted to do this year.
How much do you think Klay Thompson has got left in the tank? Because obviously he'll be rumored with a lot of teams. The Mavericks are one of them.
Yeah.
What do you think he still brings to the table?
I mean, listen, the dude shot 40% from three, and he's not an elite defender anymore, but he's still pretty good. I mean, he's not like he used to be an elite defender. Now he's, let's say, if we're saying out of 100, he used to be a 95. Now he's probably an 80. Okay, but he's still pretty good as a defender. Like, he's not a hole out there. He's not somebody you have to cover up for. He's just the thing with Klay. He's just got to stop taking bad shots. So what happens when you kind of lose a step or you lose a little bit is sometimes you try harder. You know, when he is at his best, when you go back to the Klay Thompson glory years, he never dribbled. He was just catch and shoot. What was it when he scored 37 points in a quarter?
Yeah.
I think there was like 11 dribbles. Like, he was just amazing at the catch and shoot game. Where Klay gets into troubles when he's dribbling all over the court and he takes bad shots because he feels like he has to, or he has to force it, or he may not get another shot. And I think, you know, being in a new environment, I think that might be a good thing for him. There's still a chance he returns to Golden State. Nothing would surprise me. I lean towards him right now. I lean towards him leaving, but let's see what the Warriors are able to do over the next couple of days. They've got a couple of big decisions and things that they're in on. So, I think Klay's got a lot left. You just can't count on him to be Klay Thompson from the, you know, Splash Brothers glory days. But if he's your fourth best player, that's a great fourth best player.
Absolutely. One last question for you, Ramona. Obviously, people can watch the finale of Clipped on Tuesday and on FX, but you can also catch it on Hulu. Have you watched the popular Hulu show The Bear?
Yeah.
Because we end up talking about that quite a bit.
I watched, it was weird. I watched season one when I was out on maternity leave, which is a weird show to watch.
Yes,
fair.
It's very stressful.
Right. I liked it. I'm into it. I didn't finish the last season. I think I've just been, you know, I have two kids now, both under five. So they're boys.
Yeah.
So they just run around. So like when I watch TV at night, I tend to watch like Top Chef and Below Deck and things that are like very
escapist
and light. Yeah. But I do know The Bear. I did watch season one. I like it. I probably will catch up on all of that later. But Yeah, I think it's obviously a massive hit for FX, for that network, and I like it. But you know, the other thing I should plug too is if you really like Clipped, we did a companion podcast where we talked to all the actors and producers throughout the show. So I'll tweet out those links. I haven't been as diligent about that, but they like this last week was great. It was Jackie Weaver and Ed O'Neill talking about episode 5, cool. Right? So you know, it's just, you know, a lot of cool shows now, they have a companion podcast where the writers and the producers talk about that episode. So I think it's that I'd steer people there if you want extra content.
Is Ed O'Neill as amazing as like we all believe he is from all the characters he's played?
Can I tell you?
Yes.
We did this podcast and I don't know, we probably spent 30, 40 minutes doing the podcast. And afterwards, he was like, oh, I got nowhere to be. If you want to talk some more, we can talk. And he just hung out on the Zoom for like an extra hour. It was just like me and Ed talking about his old war stories from when he was a football player. He was in camp with the Steelers and how he got caught. You know, he got cut by Chuck Knoll. And,
yes.
And then he told me some amazing stories about playing flag football with Tom Cruise. And I was like, what is going on here? Am I hanging out with Ed O'Neill right now like this? Like, he's awesome. And I'm so glad that he was willing to do this role because, you know, it's not easy to sign up to play a character like Donald Sterling. Like, yeah, you're going to be disliked. But yeah. Talk about leaning in. Oh, my God.
Man, awesome stuff. Thank you very much. The finale airs Tuesday on FX Clipped. Thank you for your insight there, as well as all the insight on the NBA.
Yeah, you got it, guys.
There you go, Ramona Shelburne, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Ed O'Neill's got to be up there, dude, right? He's played two brilliant characters on TV in Married with Children.
I wanted to ask if she asked him about scoring 4 touchdowns for Polk High School, but I was like, we got
it. Oh, we were out of time. I only had, after that, I was like, a follow-up is, did Ed O'Neill get to know Donald Sterling living in L.A.?
Yeah.
Doing Married with Children and all those things, he's out in L.A., and did he That's get to go question. To the white parties, and did he get to know him, so was it easier for him to play that role, possibly because he hung out with him some?
Maybe so.
That is a very interesting question. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is a shout-out Friday from the 469. Shout-out to my son Isaiah. It's his 9th birthday today.
Happy
shout
birthday.
Out to you and happy birthday indeed. Coming up next, it's time for the Combo Platter. National Food Truck Day is today, so give us a sports opinion, and then what is the best single meal you've ever had from a food truck, and maybe where was it? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Burns and Gray both work from the stretch, and there's a swing and a drive by Adolis deep down the line and left. It's hooking at the pole. It is history. He just barely kept it fair. Adolis Garcia leads off the fourth with his 15th homer.
Yeah, Mike, that got it down to 5, not 7. Don't worry about how the game turned out poorly. Right now, it's time for the Combo Platter. Hit us up on the Twitch or the YouTube or the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. Today is National Food Truck Day, so give us a sports opinion, and then what is the best single meal you've ever had from a food truck, and where was it? If you want to tell us where it was, 877-881-1053.
And I got to give some thought to this one, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. What?
I haven't eaten in a food truck in a long time. I've had some good food truck meals, but when you haven't done it in a while or it's not a consistent thing, it's tough to remember.
Yeah. Actually, the food truck one is the easy part. I got to come up with a sports opinion because you have to have a sports opinion.
Yeah.
Yes. We went over this. I sent it out last night. Okay.
Clay Thompson has really taken my brain. If you don't, I mean, look, I've been thinking about that
opinion.
A lot.
I got a sports opinion.
What?
And a food truck.
Take your time.
You have a food truck?
Yeah, I got a food truck discussion too.
Oh, discussion.
I feel like we're women and we're like at a restaurant and we don't know what we're going to want
to
eat.
Decide, yeah.
So you tell the husband, you order, and then
we'll see.
We really need you to take like at least 2 minutes to order your food.
Along those lines, Kevin, do you subscribe to the idea that if you're at dinner with, you know, one or two other people, something like that, where you all kind of need to get something else so that you all kind of get a decent idea of the menu?
Yeah.
Or like, are duplicates kind of okay?
I need to get at least 3 orders in my mind. because if somebody, if multiple people order the same thing I order,
why?
Then I'm like, well, I'll order that other thing because I don't want to order what somebody else
has. Yeah.
I also, here's a thing I've never done. I've never ordered for Adrian.
Oh, you got to pull that one out.
I've never been like, hey, I'll have this steak and she'll have the bisque. You know, I've never
do that for her without her knowing it.
I want to see if that goes incredible or terrible.
She's a bit of a nothing in between.
And then look at the waiter or waitress and go, she doesn't decide in this relationship.
All right, I feel like that'll ruin it.
And then
I feel like that won't be
and
good.
And then sit back and put my hand on her neck. Yeah, that's how we walk around. All right.
Holy crap.
I got a sports opinion, Kevin. I think Klay Thompson's the perfect thing for the Mavericks.
Wow.
Everything now is telling me. You know, I didn't believe it at first because I just was like, well, there's no way the Mavs could never pull something like that off. And now the more I feel like there's reality. And once Mike, we were discussing, I think it was off air, Mike was like, well, here's the thing. Nobody's going to come off of him as a shooter. They're going to stay stuck to him. And that just creates so much more for the lob game whenever it gets down into that. So much more room for Kyrie and Luka to do things because they have to stay stuck to Klay Thompson. So, Kevin, my sports opinion is I don't think I've ever wanted a player more on this team
than Klay.
I want Klay Thompson to stand there in a corner and shoot threes. Maybe Brandon Ingram, you know, because I've always loved Brandon Ingram. Defensively, I have no clue what to expect from him. Is he Tim Hardaway? Is it just like adding a more expensive Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Yeah, he's better defensively than Tim Hardaway, although I know Mike will say, so is every player in the NBA.
So
pretty much.
at this moment, that's where I am, is I want that player to stand there and just wait. And after talking to Ramona, she's like, he just needs to stop dribbling around and doing things and just Luka will set him up for a three-pointer, baby. He will find him, so let's see if he can come out and be the sixth man of the year.
Okay. Now, you strike me as a food truck purveyor.
I like food trucks. And here's the... I'm sorry. I haven't run into the one in Texas that has just made my day. But we are heading to Oxnard, California. Kevin, I don't know if we can announce this or not, but it's July 25th is when we're heading out. 24th, actually.
It's fine.
I don't think you're supposed to announce that till the 25th.
It's not a big deal at all.
The last year, and you guys were so terribly rude about this. I asked Ruben, who lived in the area and knew family in the area, if he knew of where any good tacos were. And Kevin was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just asked him that.
You didn't ask him for any other food recommendations, even though he's from the area.
I didn't want any other food other than tacos. I wanted some really good tacos from California.
There's like Sally's Number Two, which was near the hotel we stayed at.
I remember that's Mike driving by. But yeah, so
like, that's a he bad took name me to
this food truck, Kevin, that had you know what I like, and that is real street tacos, and they had lingua, and they had everything I was looking for. And we came back. I think I had a plate of like 16 tacos. You know, they're small.
That seems like too many.
It was
okay.
They're so good though, and we're going back to that place again when we head to Oxnard. The 25th. Can I say this?
Yes, it's fine.
When we head back out there, so
I think I don't even know. Cowboys are probably mad.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about when you'll be out there, Mike.
That being said, I think didn't Hurtado start out as a food truck? So, we're having
like
our
backyard type of situation.
Yeah,
we're having Fan Bowl at that location where he started.
I don't think you're supposed to say.
I heard Sean and RJ talk about it this morning. Right. So
we weren't
August 10th.
What?
We weren't supposed to say that till the 9th.
Oh crap!
From the 214 opinion. Klay Thompson is going to the Lakers like his dad, and the food truck brisket poutine with fresh cut fries from the NRH. And
poutine?
I know because of my wife, that's North Richland Hills.
Poutine is good.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
So
yeah, of course.
There's a restaurant at the airport in Cleveland. They had it, and I think they just took it off their menu. But every time Lucy and I would head back home from Cleveland, we would stop in that restaurant and she would just devour a plate of that. Man, it's awesome.
Now, hopefully you like the first part of this better, or excuse me, the second part better than the sports opinion. The 214, the Astros are going to dominate after the All-Star break. And the best food truck they ever got was a waffle cone with two chicken strips, bacon strips covered with gravy and maple syrup, and a piece of chocolate at the bottom.
And they made it out alive?
You had to get the shot, right?
That sounds, amazing and terrifying. I got one, Kevin.
Okay.
From Alec Medford, who just misses us so much.
That's true.
Hi, Medford.
Sports opinion, Quentin Grimes is a lot better than we realize. Monty Williams just can't coach. He also makes Exum and Green expendable. So there you go from
which Alec is interesting because we just heard that the Mavericks were good to go today for the Exum deadline.
And then there's a lot here. I wish I could give you a name, but I had numerous adult beverages beforehand. But there's a birria taco truck right outside 6th Street next to an Italian place in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change my perspective of life afterwards.
Those are the best taco trucks. You're just like, I don't remember the name. I'm not sure I know what I ordered, but I was like, I remember the feeling. I remember the way that it made me feel.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And that's, Kevin, I know you're like wanting real names because you want to go find these places.
Sure.
Or trucks. But I think most truck food in moments that we experience are we just kind of stumbled upon it and we found it and it was great.
I could see that. From the 940, a birria quesadilla from Marco's Taco Truck in Sherman, and the Rangers need to sell the pending free agent pitchers they have at the deadline. You know, I brought this up to somebody earlier when we talked about should the Rangers turn into sellers, and at least two people got upset. They're like, they could still contend next year. And I was like, not necessarily future players, but players who are only under contract through this year, unless you get an amazing deal. It just makes sense if you're not going to be able to contend, which we'll have a better idea of after this weekend.
If this continues, I do think Chris Young has to spend his All-Star break on the phone with agents trying to get extensions done with the guys you want to bring back for 25. If those agents and players are not interested in extensions and you're not in any playoff race, it makes your job easier.
Yeah.
I would love to keep Eovaldi. I would love to keep Kirby Yates. I would love to keep David Robertson. Obviously, I don't want to keep those guys on five-year contracts. They're older pitchers.
Yeah.
But I'd like to bring them back for 2025. And let's see how some of this stuff plays out. But if they're like, nah, we're going to test free agency, well, then there's situations, if you're out of it, where you say, hey, I'll give you an example right now. Baltimore, how'd you guys like to have Eovaldi as your third starter in the playoffs and Kirby Yates as seventh or eighth inning guy?
Holy moly.
Well, they have one of the best farm systems in baseball. You're not getting Jackson Holiday or anything like that, but I'm throwing it out there. If that has to happen at the end of July, I think you could put together some pretty good packages with some of your Yates and Robertson type of deal with also possibly Michael Lorenzen's a free agent too. I want to bring him back. But I do think if you have to make a tough decision on being a buyer or a seller because you're not in a playoff race, then I think you have to talk to these players and go, do you have any interest in coming back to the Rangers? Can we talk extension? And if I can get Michael Lorenzen on a 2 or 3 year extension, I'm not trading him. I'm happy because we do have to look at this. Right now, I'll just ask the question. You name me the starting pitcher in the Rangers farm system that's ready to pitch next year.
I don't have one for you. I really don't. Like, as much as I would love to say
I can't
Jack
even get
Leiter,
down.
I can't.
I don't even have hope for many years from now. Mike, that's the other part of it, is I don't have any hope for Brock Porter, which we were so excited about. And right this year, he's struggling. And so I'm like, I don't have any hope for anything next in the next few years.
Yeah, Kumar Rocker still dealing with like coming back up from the injury as well.
And I had questions about that going into it. So there's a lot of, I don't know, man. We got to fix that.
Cole Wynn's hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if he wasn't, like.
We saw.
Yeah. From the 817, it is National Food Truck Day, so we're doing a combo platter. Sports opinion, the Rangers will not get back to 500 for the rest of the season. And the best item from a food truck was a nacho cheese brisket french fries that they got in the Alliance area.
Good.
From the 501, this is unique. Sports opinion, student athletic trainers for colleges should now get paid minimum wage since student athletes are getting paid. Best food truck item? A reindeer gyro they got in Anchorage, Alaska in 2015.
Is it a gyro?
I think it's a gyro.
A gyro?
It's whatever.
You can I mean, we got the point, though.
Yeah, you got the idea.
Well, I feel like a gyro is one of those pitches that Yu Darvish can throw.
Side spin.
Yeah,
could the he gyro really ball. Could he really throw that pitch, though?
What are you doing right now?
Are you suggesting that the great Yu Darvish couldn't throw all the pitches?
I mean, yeah. Like, I think we saw that when we were here, when he was here. Reggie.
What up?
What do you got for us?
Yours are dope.
I have two combo platter, like, food things. So do I have to have two sports opinions?
No.
Okay, excellent. My sports opinion, gentlemen, is that I no longer know the value of a first round pick in the NBA.
Yeah. I get
that. And I blame Danny Ainge for this because it feels like it really started in earnest when you get the Rudy Gobert trade from Utah to Minnesota, where he gets four firsts in that. Then you see Kevin Durant garner four first round picks and Mikal Bridges. Like, and now Mikal Bridges is traded for five first round picks. And I'm like, Mikal Bridges, I know that his name is popular. He's never been an all-star, and he might end his career not being an all-star. He's just like the highest level of role player that you can get, and that costs five first rounds. I'm like, I don't know anymore what the value of a first round pick is in the NBA. And I mean, you would think maybe that would make it more difficult to get deals done, but I honestly have no idea. We're entering into like an era of transactions in the NBA that's really odd, and I don't know how to like kind of forecast into that space.
Good sports opinion.
Thank you. With that being the case, when it comes to the food truck, I relate so much to Alec Medford's submission because my thought immediately was down in San Antonio. I drank more than I've ever drunk before. Like, I peer pressure really got into that place. One of my friend, his girlfriend, scares me a little bit, and she was like, "You're drinking." And I was like, "Okay, I guess." And so I drank a lot. And so outside of this dance place out in San Antonio, there was this food truck. And I can't even remember what I ordered. But again, just the way that I felt was incredible. And so that was the moment. But then if you want to get a little bit cleaner, it's like more of a genre. And this is quite literally a food truck. You know those dudes that'll hook their smoker up to the back of their truck?
Yes.
I have had a number of the best meals of my life from that dude with the smoker on the back of his truck, including down in New Orleans. I got some boudin off of one of those trucks.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. My goodness. So, yes, those are the food truck situations for me.
Dude, and aren't you always a little nervous? You're like, that dude, like, there's smoke literally coming out of that dude's smoker, and he's driving down the highway right now.
From the 214 sports opinion, Luka goes off just like LeBron did after he lost the 2011 finals. And loaded spud from Magic Smoke Barbecue. They loved it so much, they eventually got that place to cater their wedding.
That's, yes.
Man.
Yes. Weddings. That's, and you love weddings.
I do love weddings, Mike.
Hold on. Before we do that, Mike.
What?
I have to ask Kevin a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Mike. I know I see your face right now.
Is it about Ken Griffey Jr.?
Adrian's friend got married in a castle in Ireland. And
awesome.
For like 3 days.
Is she a princess?
They just, no, she said it actually ended up being cheaper than they could find here for what they wanted to do. So
what did they want to do?
I don't know, man. But listen, but like for 3 days, they did the Bridgerton or whatever thing or Downton Abbey where everybody dressed up for dinner every night and they went and sat and had dinner. And then they'd go and drink Jameson at the top of the castle at 4 o'clock in the morning because the sun came up at 4 a.m. over there.
What?
Is that the kind of wedding that you want to be part of where you're gone for like 3 or 4 days and you just dress up fancy all the time?
No. The only multi-day wedding I ever went to, I was only invited for one of the days.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So,
sorry to cut you off there, Mike.
That was really fun.
I just Mike, go had ahead. Thoughts.
The Rangers are playing the Orioles.
That is a fact, actually.
Gunnar Henderson. Two hits yesterday. Gunnar Henderson's going to have a better career than Mike Trout.
Holy moly.
Dude.
Man, that is a sports opinion. Wow.
Then Mike Trout, because he's going to be healthy longer?
Mike Trout has 3 MVPs. He has the Rookie of the Year. Gunnar did get the Rookie of the Year. I think he's going to have more MVPs than Mike Trout in his career. And I think he's going to have a better war. And Mike Trout has one of the greatest wars in the history of baseball up to this point.
Will position help him in that he doesn't have to trek as far in the outfield?
Shortstop's a very demanding position.
You think it's more physically like he's going to have more collisions with wall? I don't think he's going to have wall collisions. Or
how many times do you have a wall collision in a year? Five?
Four or five, yeah. I was gonna
I'm
say
just
four
guessing.
Five, yeah.
Maybe it's 10.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, the moving and diving for balls and turning double plays, covering second on stolen bases with guys sliding into you or near you. I think they do a good job of protecting infielders. But I do think that obviously catcher's the most demanding position. And then I think you could debate shortstop or center field being the next demanding position.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting, because if he can have that healthy career, dude, his numbers are fantastic.
Absolutely.
They're going to be fantastic.
Food truck thought. I know you said it's been a while.
I honestly don't. I can remember going to a food truck when my kids were younger. And what's that bridge where they have like six food trucks that like are
Clyde Golden Warren? Gate?
Yeah,
bridge.
Clyde Warren Park. Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
London Bridge.
There's like, I don't know. I haven't eaten there in a decade, but they had some food trucks and
they still
good
do
food.
Out we, there. And they're usually
didn't
really
you
good.
And I eat down there too and went and. Interviewed Alfred Morris.
His old car. Yeah, I had a Philly cheese steak sandwich out there that I thought was fantastic. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for some Mike Likes It.
Okay, I got a text from my buddy who covers the Knicks.
Okay.
We've had him on the show before, but I asked him about Quentin Grimes, because he got to watch most of his career till he got traded to Detroit. And I said, can you give me a scouting report on Quentin Grimes? So I'm going to read a New York Knicks kind of, I don't even know if reporter is the right word, but a big time podcaster.
Yeah.
Okay. As for Grimes, there were moments over the years where I thought we were looking at a slightly poor man's Klay Thompson. He is pretty close to elite when it comes to on ball defense against guards, but his height is an issue when you slot him onto bigger wings. His shot started to elude him towards the end of his time in New York, but he's really, really good from distance. Can shoot off movement, high and quick release, elite from the corner. His biggest issue is that his ability to attack closeouts stagnated. He doesn't drive to score, seeks out pass too regularly, and defenses know it's coming. There's just been a general malaise to his offensive game since the end of 2022-23. All that said, if he gets his head right, I think the last year going sideways has really impacted him. He can be a big piece for you guys moving forward.
Okay, great.
Wow.
So that's a scouting report from somebody that's seen, I mean, literally every game of his New York Knicks career. So I think that's something to be optimistic about, the upside of what he's done in his small career so far.
I love hearing that elite corner three shooter.
And where do we stick our guys?
We love that.
Get over there, and if you're elite, Luka will find you.
So I think the Mavericks, in a way, we're looking at, you know, hey, we got rid of Hardaway's contract, but I do think the Mavs might have got a player who can really help them next year. I'm assuming coming off the bench. I'm assuming, I don't know who's going to start, Washington or Gafford. Gafford or Lively. And I don't really care. I don't know if you guys care or not. Maybe the players care. But
I don't care as much just because you got to see how they use them. But right. I understand why the player would.
And then
care.
I'm assuming Washington will start. That leaves one spot open for starting, which I think right now, if you get Derek Jones Jr. back.
Yeah.
They will, but I don't know. I mean, maybe you start Grimes and bring Jones off the bench. I don't know how that is going to be. Now I ask you guys a tougher question as we head to the weekend. Texas Rangers, do they win a game in Baltimore?
I'm going to say yes, but I can't give you the specific game. I just keep going back to it's really tough to sweep a four-game series. So
let's say they get one.
Yeah.
They win one game in Baltimore.
Good for them.
Then they come home and they play San Diego and Tampa Bay. Two solid teams, but not great teams.
Yeah.
Two teams, they're all right. Six games against San Diego and Tampa. 3-3? Is that fair?
Yeah, I can see that.
That's about what we feel like right now with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Like 3-3. At the Angels and then at the Astros to close out till you get to the All-Star break. 3-3 again?
I'll take 3-3 happily.
Yeah. So that would be about 44-52, I think, at the break.
Okay. So you got, because I needed a little bit of help there, right?
Yeah.
So you go 1-2, and then you go 6-6.
Yeah.
Where does that put, I'm asking you guys this question, where does that put Chris Young and his meetings at the All-Star break with Ray Davis and with the coaching staff?
Honestly, I think it has to put you in the position where you look at Lorenzen, you look at Yates, you look at Robertson, and you're like, let's see what's out there.
What number did you say? 44 and
52.
It's a tough number to come back.
Last year, I believe they had 49 wins at the 81 game marker. They were 49 and 32 last year at this point last year.
I think the if I'm Chris Young, the first question I'm asking all the guys is one player going to inject enough energy into this squad? And are we subtracting while adding that one player? Like, I have to figure out if I add one player, will that make everybody go, you know what, we're about to turn it around and we got a realistic shot at doing this?
I know it could be a little lower, but if I said 87 and 75, do you think ish that's where it will take to get into the playoffs?
Yes, but that's 50 wins from today.
You'd
50
have to,
more wins.
Assuming it played out the rest of the way, like we said, you would have to go 43 and 23 after the All-Star break to get there.
That's a mountain.
It really is.
There's a massive mountain.
Last year, the Rangers started 40 and 20, and we thought it was just the most incredible thing we'd ever seen.
And that's so, just to hope to get a wild card,
yes,
right?
Yes. And
I think 80, I think you'd get, I think 87 yeah. or 88 wins this division this year. 91 it last year. I think there's a small possibility. I don't think this will happen. 85 could win this division. I think it'll be more like 86 or 87. You get to 88 wins, you won the division. It's over.
But, I mean, that's a huge jump. And that's why it goes into, like, I'm thinking about selling.
Yeah. I think that when you start looking at the reality of this, and yes, the Rangers players, and right now, one game at a time, there's no reason to call to sell, and there's no reason to call to buy right now. But you just start looking at the schedule. The players can't do this. They're going to have to start playing better. But you look at it and you go, okay, probably 5 to 10 games in that range below 500 at the All-Star break.
Yep.
Probably. That's the realistic part of looking at. Maybe they play better than we think and they're 5 games under. Maybe they play worse than we think and they're 10 games under. You start off the second half after the All-Star break, home against the Orioles. They're better than you. I don't know if they're going to play better than you, but they are better than you. Then you get 4 against the White Sox. If anything's going to happen to change Chris Young's mind, if we're looking at this,
have to be there.
You win 2 out of 3 against the Orioles at home, and then you sweep the crap out of the White Sox, and you start off the second half 6-1 on your homestand. You go at the Blue Jays, and then that's pretty much where the trade deadline hits. The Blue Jays are playing about like you, so you have about the same record.
Yeah.
You win 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays, so you start off the second half, if I have this right, and you're 8-2?
Could be, yeah.
That could change everything. That could all of a sudden go, and we've caught our magic in a bottle, or lightning in a bottle, or you can catch magic in a bottle. You can catch a cloud in a bottle. We found
can
that
you?
Out.
No.
Yeah, as long as the fog's low enough. That's a cloud. So anyways, I'm just trying to look at this going as a Ranger fan. I'm trying to look at this and go, how do you get it to a point where the front office, ownership, and the coaching staff say, we found it. We found 2023 for the first time in 2024. And you need to probably go better than what we're predicting first going into the All-Star break. And then second, you win the series 2 out of 3 against the Orioles. You sweep the White Sox. You take 2 of 3 at Toronto. And then you're at the 29th or 30th is the deadline. You'd be at the St. Louis Cardinals. But that at that point, those games won't matter. Like, you need to probably go 8-2 out of the All-Star break for, I think, Chris Young to go, screw it. Let's try it one more time.
Yeah. That feels like a lot to overcome or a lot to get accomplished to get to that point.
But, Kevin,
it could happen.
Then you do it. You become don't count out the Rangers. You know?
You
become, hold on. Like, you are putting fear in everybody if you can be in that category. If you start a swing on the back half of the schedule where you're like, hold on. Crap. Yes, exactly. People start believing, and then they're fearing you because they know, crap, we just saw him do something amazing last year.
And you'd have a lot of momentum, though. The Rangers ruined my idea of momentum going into the playoffs last year.
Yes. So
I don't totally.
Momentum starts every morning when you wake up, Kevin. Yeah.
You know what? I have a neighbor every day when I leave.
Did you just make momentum into like Maxwell coffee or what?
Yeah. Folders?
The best part of waking up is momentum in your cup.
Exactly. Every morning,
nonsense.
I see this neighbor walking his dog, and he's like, how's it going? And I was like, good, how are you? And he goes, another day of waking up above the grass instead of below it, so I'm
good.
Ain't
that the truth,
man? Yes. I was like, okay, I like it.
Hey, for the last thing for Mike likes it, do you think a moneymaker would be for us if we made shirts that said we beat Medicare?
All right.
What do you think? Do you think people would buy
yes,
it?
Yes, I do.
No. We made it.
I definitely think
all the
would.
Way to 1 o'clock.
Derek Holland will order 1,000 of them.
We didn't win the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup. We beat Medicare.
Coming up next,
go get Rangers.
Damn it! The rebuttal from Corey Majors as it's time for the C Block.
12 potential Hall of Famers, and what's the most amazing human feat that you see people do all the time? Next on the Fan.